Hello.
Hey Brian, how you doing? Hello, NLI Nation. This is Chris Hunt, co-founder of NLI Scouting, National Director of Scouting. With us this morning is Brian Ryman from Lipscomb University. Good morning, Brian. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you doing?
Doing great. Nice sunny day in here. How about up in Nashville, Tennessee?
Well, we in this part of the area, we get the four seasons. So, we got sunny and 65 today and snow coming on Sunday, they say. So we're going to enjoy it while we can after about 6 days of rain, too.
Yes, sir. I hear you. That's why I moved to Florida from upstate New York in 1996. I got sick of that.
Well, we enjoy it. We're just usually we're warmer by this time of year.
Now, you guys have good weather the majority of the year, no doubt about that. Hey, Brian, can you tell us a little about yourself, your coaching experience, and how you wound up with the Bisons at Lipscomb?
Yeah, so I've been in baseball my whole life. My father was a high school coach and then became a scout and was with the Marlins, Pirates, and Cubs. And he had some winter camps and I went to those and went on to college at Hiawassee Community College and then later on to the University of Tennessee and was at one of those camps and a coach from here at Lipscomb said, "Hey, we're really struggling. We could use some help." And that time we were having a lot of success at the University of Tennessee, and my heart was really wanting to get into coaching, but also my girlfriend at the time was from Nashville, so it was a perfect storm. So I left the College World Series when we were there and drove straight to Nashville. 2 days later, broke up with my girlfriend and started working at Lipscomb, and I've been here 14 years since.
That's great. Now, your duties include you're in baseball ops, but you're also an assistant coach and the recruiting coordinator for the Bisons, correct?
Yeah, so I started out in a lot of roles when I first got here. My first year, I kind of did the operations gig, and then moved into an assistant coach role with Coach Forehand. And our first year went to play in the conference tournament for the first time in school history, and then the second year we actually won the conference tournament and went to our first regional. Then I kind of shifted back into administration and operations kind of role, and then this year kind of moving back to the field and back to recruiting, which is my passion, and hopefully we can continue to keep building what we've got going here.
Awesome. Well, you guys are in a really competitive conference in the ASUN conference. Besides Lipscomb, you got Jacksonville, Kennesaw State, Florida Gulf Coast, New Jersey Institute of Technology, Stetson, UNF, and the new members of Liberty and North Alabama. Can you tell our listeners about the strength of your conference and, how difficult it is to play in that conference?
Overall last year, and we add a potential top 25 program in Liberty. North Alabama has been really good at the Division II rank. So, if we were seventh last year and we add a quality members as we have, I think we're only going to go up. I think you can go and see, the track record of what we've done, sending teams to the regional. And watched Stetson last year go to a super regional with that club. We've been twice. I know Kennesaw's been a couple times. Jacksonville's been a few times, and Gulf Coast. And I mean, it's just we just beat each other up. There's so much parity in this league. It just keeps getting better and better. And the resources now that you see that are getting put into all these facilities in our league, it's really, really well. Taken care of, and you look in the big leagues, and you don't have to go far to see some of the stars that have come out of this league with DeGrom and so forth, and I just think that it just gets better every year.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I've watched a bunch of Nissan games and the competition is unbelievable. How are you guys looking this year? You're 4-2 right now, and you're looking at conference play soon against who is it, Jacksonville? And looking at March
20th. Yeah, we started off 4-2. We've been swinging a bat really well. We've had, you know, two games where we've had a slow start from one of our top pitchers, and we got a lot of faith that he'll be back soon. But you know, like we tell him, you know, just give us a chance, and you know, we really feel like we could be, you know, 6-0 real easily. We got a tough Xavier team coming in this weekend that their record doesn't show it, but they started off against North Carolina and Samford, and you know, last night upset number 8 Louisville. So they are a veteran team offensively, so we got those guys. And then next week we got another regional team in Hartford coming in here, and then we're going to do what most Southern teams don't do the week after that and go to Ohio State and play those guys, and then we'll get going in conference play with Jacksonville, I believe.
Well, you know, we just talked about the strength of the ASUN Conference. Let's switch gears a little and talk about the Bison's philosophy on recruiting. How do you get a leg up on all the other teams in your conference that are stacked year after year?
Well, you know, it's a special place here at Lipscomb. You know, we are a Christian school and very, very strong academically. So we take probably a little more time to vet our recruits out. We're not going to sign, you know, 25 guys a year and figure it out later. We try to do our homework. We're more about family. We're more about the son, husband, and father that you're going to become after baseball. Not to say that we don't want you to be a professional baseball player, but we feel like that's a given. You know, we feel like every guy who comes in here, that's what they want to do is play at the next level, and we're going to help you with that. But there's more to this game than just that. So the academic side of things, you know, we're looking for high-end academic guys that, that want to go on and, if baseball doesn't work out and do something, you know, really special in life.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm going to put a plug in now for one of our guys that you recruited, 2019, Bryce Einstein from Canterbury. I think he exemplifies everything that you just mentioned and what you're looking for in the recruit.
Yeah, you know, when you go and you check the boxes, they should add an extra one for guys like him, saying almost perfect, you know. And, you know, the credit goes to you too, man. I mean, he did a phenomenal job helping not only us, but, you know, Bryce, you know, getting his name out there and making us aware of his abilities, because he is just, phenomenal kid, phenomenal parents, unbelievable student, just does everything the right way all the time, you know. So we look forward to getting more of those guys here.
Well, I appreciate that. And, just building on that thought, do you rely on trusted outside to support your recruiting efforts?
You know, yes. The answer to the question is yes. But just like recruiting a player, we have to vet those too. And, guys like yourself who are credible, who are honest, because the way I see it is, if you tell me about a guy and you're not being truthful, I'm not coming back to you. So there are people out there who are just trying to make a quick buck and who are not honest, and we don't associate ourselves with those people at all. But, you know, guys like you, you know, you've been upfront and honest with us every time we've talked about a player. And that doesn't mean it always works out. But, you know, I'm always going to come back to you. I'm always going to come listen to what you have to say. So I think that's been a key for us. You know, again, there are those out there that are just putting out a website and making a quick buck.
No, absolutely. I mean, this field's like any other profession. It's all about being brutally honest with parents, prospects, and coaches. If you're not, you burn that relationship for life, and this is a relationship business.
Absolutely. And that's what life should be about, is relationships. And you know, we try to teach our kids that here too, about, you know, everything we do in our program is relational and personal, except for the travel roster and the lineup card. Those two things aren't personal.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, you hit on something earlier. I just want to expand on it a little further. We emphasize with our prospects, you know, obviously you have to have the skill set. And, you know, if you have 100 players, 95 of them are not going to be D1 guys. Majority of guys are, you know, D2 or below. But for those 5 out of 100 guys that are legitimate D1 prospects, we emphasize to them the importance of academics and separating themselves from the rest of the field. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah. And we always tell our recruits that basically their agent is mom and dad. And so the higher their academics, the less that their agent, their mom and dad, is going to have to pay, because, as you know, getting an education is not cheap. So for, you know, a kid like that has a 3.5 or a 27 ACT, usually easier to get to 3.5, they meet the NCAA exemption, which means for us, they can take whatever academic money our school offers and stack that on top of whatever baseball money we offer, and therefore makes Lipscomb, which is $42,000 this year, affordable place to go to school. Whereas if they had a, you know, 2.5 and a 19, you know, one, they're probably not going to succeed here in the classroom, but two, I can't, you're probably going to have to pay over $20,000 to come to school here.
Absolutely. And, you know, we preach that all the time. And the majority of our guys are higher academic guys, as you know, but unfortunately, a lot of kids that want to play college baseball end up in that 92% of kids that don't move on to play college baseball because they realize their senior year, oh, my God, it's too late now. I'm at a 2.8 and a 17 ACT. I'm not paying $25,000 a year. And they don't end up playing college baseball, even though they may be projectable enough to do so.
Well, I think there's a strong correlation between the baseball field and the classroom. And I call it the handling your business. I look for guys who can handle their business in the classroom, in the weight room, you know, with their girlfriend, with their parents, whatever it may be, because those things all correlate. If you can't get it done on the classroom, I'm not saying everybody, but there's a good chance you're not going to get it done when I need you on the baseball field. So I really look for those guys who can handle their business in different areas of their life.
No doubt about it. What are some other intangibles, you know, besides the obvious skill set that you're looking for on the field, but intangibles wise, what are you looking for in a prospect?
You know, I really become a fan of how is their work ethic, not so much on the baseball field, but what's your work ethic in the weight room? Because I would say 90% of the freshmen that show up in college are physically weak. And that's why they physically, it's not that their skill set isn't as good as somebody that's here. It's just they're weak and the game gets fast for them. And they don't come in. We tell every guy, hey, you need to be strong in your core. You need to be, you know, and be able to run this and be in shape. And they all say, yes, they're doing it. But it never fails. That first week when they get here, they have a hard time keeping up. So that's one of the things is their work ethic in the weight room and classroom. You know, I'm a big character guy, and so I try to do my homework on, you know, how do you treat the special needs kids? You know, what are you doing with those people? Or, you know, what do your teachers say about you? Or what does the janitor think about you? Do you know the janitor's name? You know, because in this life, it's not about us. You know, we want servant leaders. And, you know, I think that's something really strong that we look for as well.
Very nice. And on the other side of it, what are some of the red flags for you where you may like a guy and you're, you know, you vetted them and you're going out to see him one more time play and all of a sudden, whoa, you know, what are some of those red flags that might pop up that gets that kid off your radar?
Number one would be parents. I don't know how many kids that I've walked away from because the parents thought it, they were more important or they wanted to be seen or they wanted to be heard. So that it that starts there, you know. And then on the flip side of that is how do you treat your parents? We've had kids sit in our office and basically tell their parents, you know, shut up. You know, like, that's disrespectful. That's not how we do things. So we've walked away from those kind of kids. You know, guys that you know, you show up to the ballpark and your shirt tails out and, you know, you got your flip-flops on, your earring in, and, you know, you're not a baseball player. You're not ready to give everything you got that day. There's some, you know, academic issues, you know, just the general things that, you know, you hit a ground ball, you don't run hard to first, you know, you're dropping F-bombs after you pop up, you know, I mean, there's just so many that could turn you off. So, I mean, it's not hard to do the right thing. So, we try to preach to those guys, do the right thing every time.
You never know who's watching, and I tell all the guys I work with, do it right, regardless if someone's watching or not, because you never know who is watching.
Sure, absolutely. You know, I can tell you, you know, time and time again, of scouts who will draft a kid, and I'll say, you know, what made you pick him? And he'll say, you know, I watched. example, excuse me. We had a shortstop here a few years ago named Grant Massey that the White Sox took in the 20th round, I believe. And there's another shortstop in our league who's a high-profile guy. And the scout told me, he said, if the other guy would have worked as hard as your guy, he'd have been a first-round pick. But he takes plays off. He doesn't work hard in batting practice. He doesn't show us anything that we want to see. So, therefore, his stock dropped and your guys moved up. And our guys all-conference and he's second-team all-conference, whereas he should have been a first-round draft pick, you know. And I've also seen, you know, guys that, you know, they have an incident in the parking lot or, you know, whatever they may be, you know, and a scout may be there, and, you know, he'd call me and say, hey, did you offer this kid? And I'll say, yeah, man, he's a great player. And he'll say, well, you need to know that this happened. You know, well, that may be his one shot with us, or maybe his one shot with that pro team. Like you said, you just never know.
No, you don't. I got a question for you, and this is, you know, this just came off the top of my head, but we're my partner, Jordan Osroff, and I are heavily involved in the Dominican Republic right now on the professional side. And the one thing that we're seeing in the Dominican is, you know, they focus in on development a whole lot more than playing game after game after game, like travel ball here and stateside. In your opinion, what do you think is more important, focusing in on position-specific development or playing games more?
Well, I don't like anything to be specific, to be honest with you. I love athletes who play multiple sports. I just think one, your body gets a break. One, you get to know different kinds of people. You get to know different ways of learning. I am not all about playing thousands of games. You know, I did the whole summer ball circuit for 12 years, you know, and, you know, we would play on the weekends and we didn't play in the middle of the week. We practiced. So I think, you know, I do think you learn a lot from playing the game. And I think the game belongs to the players. And I think if you practice the right way, I think practice is great. I do see a lot of times that practice gets boring and the kids don't get anything out of it. So that's why they want to play the game, because there's something on it. So I think if you're doing development the right way, then I think development is definitely the key. But I also think you got to play from learning what you develop, you know. Sure. So I think it's a good mix there. I really do.
Awesome. Well, I don't have any other questions, Coach Ryman, but I know one thing. I'm going to see you April 5th when you guys are down in Fort Myers to play FGCU. So I look forward to that.
Well, yeah, I'm excited about it too, man. I'm ready to come get some shrimp and some warm weather. But, you know, it's always good playing those guys. We've had a good rivalry over the years, and, you know, they do an unbelievable job with what they have there. And, you know, if I can ever do anything for you guys or anybody needs anything, you can email me or hit me up on Twitter, and be glad to help.
Yes, sir. Well, thanks for joining us, and thanks for enlightening our audience with some inside info that they normally don't hear. I think it was really good.
Well, good. Well, good. Anytime.
All right, sir. Well, you have a good season, and I'll see you in early April.
Yes, sir. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.